Previously on Taz Royale.
I need you to prove yourself to me. I need you to win this conclave.
Yes, yes. Just if you're able to help.
Yeah.
No pressure.
Yes, you're right, Bugman. And I shove him to the ground.
Well, I mean, I didn't want to risk anyone else. I was going to come in and destroy the crystal and...
I can't make another bond like this with another person. This is taking everything just to appear before you right now. If you die, that's it.
As such, we will not commence with the final two trials. This conclave has been terminated.
Welcome back to Taz Royale, our Battle Royale, Winner Take All, Season of the Adventure Zone. You join us at a dark time for the Conclave, as the eight remaining aspirants have just been informed by the members of the Octave, the Archwizards that rule the realm of the Fold, that the Conclave has been canceled due to their many transgressions.
And we don't need to point fingers. Who did what?
That is actually exactly where we are picking up.
We do need to point fingers.
There's going to be a lot. There's been so much finger pointing in the sort of few minutes following you getting caught, Rictus. The eight remaining aspirants are sort of standing in front of the Crystallarium where the eight members of the Octave are standing on a raised dais. And the aged wizard Oshim is standing at the front of the assembly. And he's holding this like... illuminated clipboard, and for the past like 5 minutes has just kind of been flipping through a list of infractions that each of you have racked up during your time here. He says,
Hill Grammett, conducting a secret clandestine meeting within the boundaries of Leomund's tiny hut. Lorovith, for like 24 minor acts of unauthorized violence. Duber Sweetleaf for ripping cotton in the sunken library. Pranklin, grand larceny from the atelier. Jesus.
I do a tiny, maybe I'll have to make a stealth check, but fist bump to my dude.
He flashes you a big gummy smile, and Oshim says...
And Rictus, obviously, your intrusion into the Crystallarium was the final straw, but let's not forget about the arson.
Alleged arson.
Nothing here is alleged. Nothing escapes our sight here on the Isle of the Octaves.
Where does that leave those who've already perished?
It leaves them where they are. They have perished.
What are their sacrifice?
Their sacrifice was for naught. There is a certain shenanigans threshold under which the conclave may continue, but that threshold has been thoroughly crossed.
If I may say, point of order here, I had been informed that whatever happened within Leoman's hut stayed in Leoman's, and how do you know what I was doing inside Leoman's hut?
Table talk. I need some evidence here. You're playing fast and loose with they don't know what the fuck happened in Leoman's hut.
Yeah, allow me to respond. Oshim says,
yes, precisely. You created a secret dome of silence where you meant to bamboozle our sight, our omniscience. I do not know what happened within Leoman's
That one was planning a birthday party for you.
Yes.
Yeah. And so that, you're embarrassed now. We'll tell you all the details. If you want to hear them, we'll ruin it for
you. Yes, go on. Tell me all the details of the birthday party that you planned for me.
You know you've always liked the movie Grease.
Make a deception check for me, Lorovith.
Interesting. That's only 5 of the 20 possible points.
Huh. A 5, okay. He looks down at his clipboard. He says,
even if that is true, which my... How do you know my birthday?
Oh, my God. The deception hurt his feelings, didn't it? That's the worst.
Even if that were...
It's a wombo combo, man. It really stings when they realize you're lying, but it's still hurtful. Oh.
Yeah, maybe he was getting super excited for the party.
even if we were to strike that infraction, the breaking of rules that has happened here has been so flagrant and so unprecedented. We have never had an attempt to choose a new member of the Octave be so tainted like this. And it is the
so
will
you're
of
going to give it to Duba.
No, it is the will of magic itself that no successor be named from this assembly. We must.
How did magic tell you that? Can we talk to magic?
You may not. There is no talking to magic. It is not a sentient mind. Its will must be interpreted by the members of the Octave, which is us. We must bring these trials to a halt and return you all to the fold from whence you came.
I think I have an idea. If we could just, if one of us then were to become the new member, then we could interpret the will of magic and explain how all of this is not our fault.
The rules must be followed by us and by yourselves. We have conducted ourselves in the manner that we are accustomed to, that has been ordained unto us, and you all have not. And so these trials have ended.
Well, that's kind of bullshit.
Point of parliamentary procedure, I was wondering, how do you reach these decisions? Surely it's a vote of some kind, some kind of democratic process. Could you perhaps let us in on what that process is and who voted for what?
Give me an insight check, Hellgrammet, as you ask that. That is a 4.
Insightful.
This decision came from up top, from on high. Were it up to us, I would continue.
Ted, you gotta cheese it with these fucking Mr. Bixious Piddlix dice, man. These fucking dice on my
screen are really difficult
wild,
to parse. Yeah.
Wild magical Dad's, sparkles Dad's animations.
Dice, Dad's dice are sparkling, sort of pink, gold embossed with runic symbols all
they
over.
Make
they
sounds,
are. They are really insane.
And they disappear with a flourish.
They're really whimsical.
Oh, crazy.
There was no vote.
For
we
an
not...
insight check. I mean, it's the whole David Copperfield prestidigitation.
Permission to speak?
Yes, Rictus. I assumed there would be much conversation, many questions, given this upsetting news.
And listen, no offense, but it kind of seems like you're saying, like, we follow the rules we set for ourselves, and you didn't follow the rules we set for you.
Yes.
So, like, you got to make up rules that worked for you. Like, why did you even put the crystallarium here if we're not allowed to go in it? I assumed that was some kind of, like, test or something to see if we'd be brave enough, you know, to, like, seek the knowledge like a conclave member, you know, like an octave member would.
They don't want new thoughts. They don't want new ideas. They don't want rethinking. What they want is another member of 8.
Osham sighs, looking somewhat frustrated now. He says,
I can tell that the Crystallarium has become quite a distraction for all of you. So he waves a hand behind him, and in an instant, the section of the island containing the Crystallarium vanishes into thin air,
leaving a sort of semicircular carve out. From the edge of the island, over which you can see clouds and the lands below, absolutely just vanishes from view.
Listen, we have been very patient with your questions. But we are here because we followed this process to the letter when it was our time to do so. So you can understand our frustration with your refusal to follow our example. We have...
This process sucks.
Thank you, Rictus, for your input. It is sagacious as always.
Standing in front of this big sort of cavity that has formed here on the island, Osham gestures to the side toward the eight eggs that are sort of surrounding one part of the ziggurat at the center of the island. It's where Helgramet sort of witnessed a trippy history lesson about the origins of the universe. He says,
The eggs have been adapted into something like escape pods. Once you step inside, the door will seal, and only then will you be permitted to remove your grimoire, at which point you will be returned to the lands below. I appreciate the strenuousness of these trials, and I deeply, deeply regret that things have ended the way that they have ended, but it is out of our hands, and it is certainly out of yours.
And what if we refuse to do that?
If you refuse to leave our island? Well, Rictus, I appreciate your renegade spirit, but we are not going to leave you much of a choice.
And another member of the Octave Set gestures to his side. As he does so, another big chunk of the island completely vanishes. The entire sort of western rim of the island, encompassing the woods and the mage's tower, a good, like, you know, fifth of the island, completely vanishes into nothingness, leaving a huge, almost sort of crescent moon-shaped sort of cavity on the side of the island.
You may stay here if you would like, but terra firma is not going to be guaranteed for much longer, so... Do as you'd like, but I would recommend the escape pods and your.
I have another question to ask.
Yes, Helgramet.
Well, perhaps we could appeal to your boss. You know, someone. Obviously, you just said that you were following someone else's orders or leadership or whatever you want to call it. Could we perhaps speak to them, like, in an appeal process?
The will of magic is not a who. It is not something to be bargained with or reasoned with. It is like bargaining with gravity. We interpret the movements of magic, but...
And he gestures to the black smoke that's like pouring out of the giant doors surrounding the outer ring of the island.
That is about as clear a signal as we can possibly receive. The conclave has been canceled. Your attempts to try and walk back your poor decisions will not be fruitful, I guarantee you.
Is the bracer stuck on me?
Is the bracer stuck on you?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, it has been against the rules to take the bracer off. I don't know how much you've fiddled around with it. If you would like to fiddle around with it to find out, you are more than welcome to.
I'm standing here.
Sure. Give me an investigation check, please.
This might be a really good time to start rolling maybe some 20s.
We could use some 20s. That is a 5 on the investigation check.
Damn it.
On a 5 investigation check. It does seem to be on you quite firmly. I don't think an investigation check would be necessary to remember that when you sort of, during the trial of divination, when you sort of shook the hand of the statue and the gauntlet sort of climbed onto you, it sort of jabbed a probe into your elbow. So you have every reason to believe that this thing is seated on you pretty steadily. That said, you're a big, strong dude. So if you did want to try to do something about it,
I'm gonna try to take it out.
Okay. Give me a strength check, please.
makes sense. After a 5 investigation, not going to be getting in there with pliers and tweezers.
Yeah, intricate, like, jeweler's tools.
Luckily, I rolled a 19.
Oh, fucking hell, plus man. 3. All right, a 22 total. You reach down and grab your bracer. As you do so, Osham shouts,
"Hold, Lorevith! You may not remove your bracer until you enter the eggs and the door is sealed. To do so would be another violation of the rules, one that will be punished by death."
I mean, I already rolled a 22.
All right. With a 22, I will give you this. You have these big Goliath hands. You are able to sort of wrap your hand all the way around sort of the top of the bracer and begin to pull it off. As you do so, your fingers crunch in to the bracer, not in a way that you would expect from, a leather arm guard. You feel something give. You feel a crunch. Give me a perception check, please.
17 plus 1, 18.
You hear a slight squeal as you do so. Do you continue to pull it
yes.
off?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes. Not more so. Ugh.
All right. You tear off your bracer. It clings onto you defiantly as you pull it off. And the last thing to go is this sort of elbow pad, and it takes a little bit of extra pulling to pull the probe all the way out of your elbow. In this exact moment, Lorevith, I need you to make a wisdom saving throw, and I will tell you it's a doozer.
18 plus 4, 22.
Okay, that is a 22. Okay. A lot of stuff happens all at once. As you pull off your grimoire, you feel it begin to give more in the hand that you are sort of clutching it in. You feel more crunching. You hear a shriek begin to emanate from it. The rest of you can hear this too. This is not just purely in Lorevith's mind. You instantly feel a hollowing out of your memories. You feel the experiences that you have gleaned from other wizards through these spell stones that you have been slotting into your grimoire the entire time that you have been here. You feel them fade like turning off a light switch. All of the crystals that are sort of connected to the back of your grimoire begin to kind of pulsate, glowing with a sort of fluctuating light. The one at the very center, the one that was there sort of at the very beginning when you first kind of came to with this grimoire on your arm, you see it flicker as well. And in this exact moment, all these memories fade and you feel your own memories, your own training with Lightning Lash. You feel it begin to sap away also, but you find something there. You find your training with Gracon. You find your Goliath sort of clan and your ceremonies, your rituals, your upbringing, your exploration of the mountains below. It gives you something firm to hang on to. You feel your memories begin to be sapped away, and you deny that. And as that happens, the crystal at the center of this grimoire shatters, and instantly, the illusion is dispelled, and you can see that you are holding in your hand not a gauntlet, but a large segmented insect.
Gross.
You are holding an insect with these crystals kind of growing out of its back, slotted into these gaps between its sort of segmented carapace.
Fuck, I'm glad I rolled a 22.
Yeah, dude.
It'd really be freaking my bean, I think.
Yeah. Everyone else doesn't seem to recognize that you have just ripped this giant bug off of yourself, but you can see it clear as day.
What does that guy look like now?
The bug?
The guy who's talking to us.
I will tell you, you look up toward the dais, and there is nobody there. And then there is a flash of red light behind you, and the ever-burning flame at the other end of the island produces a pillar of roaring flames that shoots upward and then begins to arc downward in your direction. I'll need a dexterity saving throw from you,
please. I tackle him in Thunderstep.
Okay, I like that. Yeah, you all can see the pillar of fire for sure. I'm going to need a dexterity save just for the timing on this, Rictus, to get to him without sort of issue.
16 plus 2, 18.
That you guys did save these for the correct time. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay, Rictus, you run and tackle Lorevith. He is a big sort of a sturdy dude who does not seem to move a whole lot. But as you sort of get your arms around him, you thunderstep. Where are you thunderstepping to?
I'm trying to picture the scene.
Yeah, you're sort of standing in front of the big gaping hole where the crystallarium was, right sort of near the eggs.
I mean, I'm going to thunderstep. How far can I go? Any unoccupied space I could see within range, which is 90 feet. So, I'm going to move the full 90 feet away.
Okay. Each creature within 10 feet of the space you left must make a constitution saving throw, taking 3d10 thunder damage on a failed save. You did a running tackle, right? It's sort of up to you where you activate Thunderstep. So I guess first, like, are you trying to catch anyone in the damaging part of Thunderstep, or are you...
You know, if it ends up, Griffin, the dais is in range where the octave were standing, I'd be okay with that.
Okay. Awesome. You run and tackle him toward the dais then, and then you activate your thunderstep easily within 10 feet of where Osham was standing at the front of the pack. And then you are going to move, let's see, how far away?
Up to 90 feet.
Okay, so where do you want to go? I mean, that's like anywhere on the northern half of the island, basically.
Towards the mountain.
Okay, great. Like up it?
Yeah, let's get Lorevith on home turf.
Okay, cool. You rush forward, activate Thunderstep. A peal of thunder that can be heard from 300 feet away booms across the remnants of the island of the Octave Ziggurat, Helgramet, where you and the rest of the aspirants are standing. You are sort of pushed backwards a bit, and Rictus and Lorevith vanish. You all appear back up 90 feet up the mountain. That puts you about near that cave where you sort of found the ice dragon in that second trial, Lorevith, where you sort of tricked Ignacio into getting burned up and stole his spell crystal, right near that cave. As you reappear, Rictus, you can see back down, back on the dais, that Ocean was completely unaffected by your Thunderstep spell. Didn't seem to be phased whatsoever. And Helgramet, where you're standing, you see Osham look around, and I think he's going to have to roll a perception check. Let me roll a perception check here, just to see if he can spot where you ended up. No. That is a 5 on his perception check. Okay. The members of the Octave now, they seem... Give me an insight check, Helgram. You're still standing here as this kind of crazy thing just happened.
God.
4. Keeping the good insights rolling. They seem to be largely unfazed. Again, not just by the sonic boom of the thunderstep, but you would probably categorize their response to this this teleportation as somewhat lightly annoyed. Osham says, "Oh,
I this is disappointing. I was hoping you would take this opportunity to seize our grace and survive and return to the world below, but I see that that is not the choice that they have made. The rest of you, I would encourage you to make a different decision."
Lorevith and Rictus, you all are up on the mountain in front of the cave. You have a very good vantage point on the whole of the island here. You can see, the scorch marks where the pillar of flame smashed down and missed you. But you can also see the ever-burning flame down in that side of the island is beginning to ignite once again to sort of charge up another blast.
What the fuck?
Listen. Yeah? I don't have much time. This isn't going to make much sense, but please, you have to believe me. Recently, I've been reading up on illusory magics. I was studying the bracers that... They're bugs, man! They're just a bunch of funky bugs!
The bracers are bugs.
They're a bunch of bugs, man! You gotta take it off!
Rictus, instantly, as soon as he says that, you look down at your grimoire, and the illusion is dispelled.
Ew!
I'm saying it!
Get it off!
Now, listen. Don't get it off.
Oh,
I know.
But... Ew!
I handled my stuff because I am so tough, but it may make you absolutely gaga. I have been through it, my man.
Oh,
don't pull it off!
Gross!
Look, no! Don't pull it off.
Can I kill it?
No!
Let me kill it!
It'll make you insane!
It might not!
Don't! I got so lucky!
No, I'm pretty good at this!
I mean, I'm saying what I'm saying, but yeah. He can do whatever he wants.
I think the span of that conversation was long enough that the Pillar of Flame has recharged.
Fuck you! Well, we can't do our podcast, Griff.
We can't do a bit.
We can't do our podcast.
And another pillar shoots upward and begins arcing towards where you're standing on this sort of mountain ledge near the cave where you killed Ignacio.
It begins to do that.
Yes.
Go in the cave. Okay. Go in the cave.
I'm gonna cast Counterspell.
Oh, okay.
To try to prevent it from erupting.
You're casting Counterspell on the ever-burning flame itself.
Hey, why not? You said take big swings.
Yeah, fuck yeah, man. Okay, so the range on that is 60 feet. You're going to have to hoof it a bit to reach the Pillar of Flame sort of move away from the conversation with the octave that was happening. I think during that conversation, you have time to do that, to sort of clear around the corner of the ziggurat so it's sort of in sight. It's casting a spell of 4th level or higher. Make an ability check using your spell casting ability. The DC equals to 10 plus the spell's level. So use your spell casting ability. The number that you are trying to beat here is, this is a 5th level evocation spell. So you're trying to beat a 15 on your spell casting modifier roll here.
Good shnike.
Okay.
Advantageous roll. I wasn't paying attention.
It was not an advantageous roll. That is a 5 plus 6, 4 and 11. Here's what I will give you. You do not stop this pillar of flame. However, you are able to slightly divert it.
Towards yourself.
Towards yourself.
Killing yourself instantly.
Lorevith and Rictus, you see the column shoot upwards, and then you see it kind of divert off to the side a bit, and then it smashes into the side of the mountain, sending a few boulders down in your general direction.
Do you see it, Rictus? Do you see? This is all his plan. This is all the bug man. He put these funky bugs on us, and now he's trying to kill us with fire.
But he's wearing one, too.
I know. He's incredible.
Okay, I run into the cave.
Okay.
Duber!
Duber looks up at you, and so do the rest of the members of the Octave.
Shit!
Duber, they're a bunch of funky bugs!
What?
Don't take it off!
What is a bunch of funky bugs, sir?
The braces are all funky bugs!
Instantly. I think, Helgram, you are in earshot of this as well. All of the aspirants look down at their arms. And
don't take them off!
They begin to freak out. I'm going to start making some rolls here. Down, the people who hear this. Okay, Helgram, Hasty Jane, Duber, Hippocrates, Pranklin, and Scorpo. I'm going to say Pranklin and Scorpo look down at their bracers, and they appear to be somewhat alarmed, but they are keeping a somewhat cool head. Hippocrates, I'm going to make a roll here just to see if he is able to not reflexively reach up and tear this giant bug off of his arm. That is a 4. You look down and you see Hippocrates does not heed your advice, reaches down, grabs the bug off of his arm, pulls super, super hard, and rips it clean off. And
Seems out of character, Griff, but I do want you to know that Lorvith has a brief moment where he kind of kicks himself for not building more of a rapport with Hippocrates. Because he feels like, you know what I mean? Like, if there had been maybe a little bit more trust there, you know, you never know. It's like, you know.
Hippocrates tears this bug off of his arm. As he does so, it bites him, bites his sort of winged arm and scurries away. And Hippocrates looks around confused for a moment and then just kind of collapses to the ground. I'm going to roll for Hasty Jane now to see what her sort of... No, you know what? Hasty Jane maintains her composure as well. I am going to roll for Duber, though, because he's a fretful little guy.
I do think he should get advantage, though, because I told him not to.
You're his dad. Yeah. Okay. I'll roll one more. Okay. Duber starts to pull it off of his arm, but then... That's disgusting! What do I do?
You heard me.
Hasty Jane kicks on the jets, and she is going to sprint sort of up the mountain up to where the two of you are into the cave where you have taken shelter, Rictus. Lorvith, what are you doing now that you've warned sort of everyone about what's happening?
I mean... I probably want to try to get to Duber.
Okay.
While using the mountain as like cover, I don't want to fully expose myself, but yeah. I want to try to get to where I can get to Duber, I think.
I cast Fly on Lorvith.
Oh, hell yeah. Okay. You cast Fly on Lorvith, and Lorvith...
I miss that. I don't see that, and I say,
good news, Rictus. I have a cape for just such an occasion.
Okay, yeah. Go for it.
See you later!
Okay, Lorvith, you dive off of the mountain, and what you think is your cape grants you the power of flight. The wings of fatherly love carry you down the mountain in Duber's direction.
On the wings of love!
Helgramet, you look down, and as you look down at your arm, hearing Lorvith's shout,
rock hard and love it.
You are
absolutely your shit.
You are maybe the only one here.
It's your friend Jim. Jim the bug. Jim? You know him. You bowl together.
You guys went to Awana.
You are the only one here who is maybe not confused because you have seen this before. This is an echo mite. It is sort of parasitically linked to you. And I mean, you know a lot about these guys. You studied them in the library. You've conversed with Akari before that connection seemed to fade. You know that what they are capable of. They are capable of sort of draining and crystallizing memories. You know what is happening. So I'm not going to like make you roll a sort of panicked roll here. What is your response?
I think use the Thrykine psychic link and say Akari.
All right, give me a wisdom saving throw, please.
Come on, baby. 13.
You
know his rolls have been bad when he's so proud of a 13.
13.
13. 13.
13.
You reach out asking for Akari, using this Echo Mite as a sort of conduit for that. And as you reach out, you do not feel this comforting presence that you have felt whenever you have communed with Akari in the past. Instead, you feel another presence come through this connection with a force that knocks you off of your feet. I'm going to ask you for a check here to sort of glean something about what this presence is that has reached out. It is something, I think I need an Arcana check from you to sort of get a feel for what this is that has just kind of assaulted your mind.
Not a history check?
A history check I would also allow. Yeah, sure. All right. History check I would allow.
History check. 16.
Okay. On a 16 history check. The way that your senses were just kind of overwhelmed by this connection, by this thing that is kind of brute forcing itself through this Thrykine psychic link into your mind, there is something familiar about it. It is not, it's not one of the octave, but you feel a familiarity in the way that it kind of almost sort of condescendingly tries to occupy your mind. You can't quite exactly place what that is, but you have no doubt that as you tried to reach out and make this kind of like, you know, collect call to your Thrykine betrothed, that something tried to come through. And it is a presence that you felt somewhat familiar with, but like never to this kind of like degree, never quite in this way.
Can you identify yourself? Is this the queen? Is this Larvosa?
Make
of the Scritch.
Make another wisdom saving throw. You continue to try to talk to this thing. It's going to continue to try to push its way into your mind.
10.
No. You feel that presence again. It is.
Wait. It's trying to come into my mind?
Yes.
Let it.
Oh, interesting.
Huh.
Let it into my mind. No, I won't resist.
Okay. Here's what I'm gonna do. Okay,
just a bunch of dusty old Steely Dan lyrics up there.
The girls don't seem to care.
No static at all. I will allow this to happen. You will allow this to happen, and you are going to let this presence into your mind. It's gonna hurt. I will tell you that much. If you want to let it into your mind, but if you're trying to identify this thing, you know, this might be a method of doing so.
Bring it on.
All right. You do not resist as you feel this presence push back into your mind. And as it does so, you topple over, landing sort of paralyzed on the ground. You are going to take 18 points of psychic damage, and you are unable to move. You have been held here on the ground. Your thoughts are disorganized. They are chaotic. It is impossible to try to connect the neurons in your brain to the you know, Thrykine muscles in your body to tell yourself to get up, to stand up. You can no longer see through your eyes. You are in a state of darkness. And the thing you can see sort of in that place is a silent image of a giant, bright white flaming eye.
Hey, everybody, in case you've somehow missed it, Story and Song, the final graphic novel in our Adventure Zone Balance graphic novel series, comes out next week. You can pre-order it right now at theadventurezonecomic.com. If you pre-order from one of our indie bookstore partners, you'll get a book plate signed by one of us and Carrie. Book release event next week in Boston. Tickets are on sale now. It's going to be July 16th at 7 p.m. at the Chevalier Theater. Each ticket includes a signed paperback copy of Story and Song provided by Brookline Booksmith. And we have a special mid-month episode of Clubhouse on Tuesday, July 14th to celebrate the book coming out. And the regular monthly Clubhouse is still on the 21st, so check that out. We've got some new merch this month. There's a Trav Nation Centennial Magnet along with a bunch of other great stuff. 10% of all merch proceeds this month will also be donated to the Asian Pacific Environmental Network. So go check that out, macroymerch.com, and back to the show.
All right, we're over 70 episodes into our show. Let's learn everything. So let's do a quick progress check. Have we learned about quantum physics?
Yes, episode 59.
We haven't learned about the history of gossip yet, have we?
Yes, we have. Same episode, actually.
Have we talked to Tom Scott about his love of roller coasters?
Episode 64.
So how close are we to learning everything?
Bad news. We still haven't learned everything yet.
Oh, we're ruined!
No. It's good news as well. There is still a lot to learn.
Woo!
I'm Dr. Ella Hubber.
I'm regular Tom Lum.
I'm Caroline Roper, and on Let's Learn Everything, we learn about science and a bit of everything else too.
And although we haven't learned everything yet, I've got a pretty good feeling about this next episode.
Join us every other Thursday on Maximum Fun.
If you want to know what's going on in the world of movies, you should be listening to Maximum Film so we can tell you all about it.
Okay, but what if you already know what's going on in the world of movies? What if you're kind of obsessed with movies, like maybe you have a problem?
Well, then you should definitely be listening to Maximum Film, because we too have that problem, and it's important you know you're not alone.
We're talking indies you'll want to seek out.
Blockbusters and blockbusting wannabes.
Classics we can't get enough of.
I'm comedian and writer Kevin Avery.
I'm film critic Alonzo Duraldi.
I'm festival programmer and producer Drea Clark.
Together, we're Maximum Film. Smart about movies in Hollywood, so you don't have to be.
But if you already are, that's also great. And hey, we see you.
New episodes every week on MaximumFun.org.
Back up to Lorevith. You're flying down the dais toward where Duber is standing. The others
from the skies. I wonder if maybe I saw what was happening with Helgram and thought I might have been wrong about
Helgram. Yeah, I mean,
as I pass over and see him lying on the ground, presumably
sort of rigid, catatonic.
Right.
Yeah,
it's a sort of like rigor mortis pre death.
Or is that just part of his evil plan?
Yeah, I don't think I'm willing to give him enough credit for that. Okay.
I mean, you are definitely able to see this, right? You are able to see Helgramet go down. Is that diverting your path at all, or are you still making a beeline for Duber?
No, I'm making a beeline for Duber, but I think I should later mention to Rictus that I think I was wrong about Helgramet.
Okay. Just a mental note.
Yeah. How far away are they? How far separate are they?
How far separate are Duber and Helgramet?
Yeah.
I mean, about 30 feet or so. You fly down towards where Duber is standing in front of the dais. You can see that he is still looking up at the dais and pleading. He says, "Please stop. We'll escape. We'll do what you want. Just stop. Please don't." But you can see he's talking to nobody. There is nobody up there for him to.
I grab him around the waist and scoop him up. Come along, Duber.
What?
We've got to go help the Bugman.
But we can't fight the Octave.
Sir, he's...
Octave Duba. They're all... This is a bunch of fake funky bugs. Come on, Duba. Get with it.
As
Talk
you...
Talk to you better.
As you say that, another part of the island vanishes. You can see that sort of the rest of the western side of the island, the lake and the Gilded Lily, the arena, everything kind of surrounding the western side of the ziggurat vanishes into thin air, leaving just half of the island sort of standing. You swoop down and you're able to grab Duber quite easily. He's a little guy. And you make your way over toward where Helgrammet is laying in the grass. Great.
I scoop up Helgrammet too. I carry both of them to the goddamn eggs.
Okay, you start to make your way toward the eggs with Helgrammet sort of slumped over your shoulder. Let's hop over to Rictus as you begin to make your way over toward the escape.
Just
eggs.
So you guys know, here's what I am doing. Because let's say you can probably intuit this from my movements, but what I am doing is I am taking Helgrammet and I'm taking Duber and I'm going to put them in these eggs. I'm going to send them out. So that's where I'm. If you want to stop me, you can, but that's what I'm doing.
Okay. Rictus, you are in the cave with Hasty Jane. Just a few moments.
Oh, she just got there?
Yeah, I mean, she has super speed. So
yeah, she's fast.
She fucking blazed her way up there. But a few moments later, you see Scorpo, who's carrying a prone sort of Hippocrates, sort of slung over his shoulder. Scorpo scales them out using his claws and his sort of spiky tail, and Pranklin makes short work of the climb also.
Griff, am I correct in my assumption, just to double check on something?
Yeah, sure.
Am I correct in my assumption that if I try to cast one of my non-lightning lure spells, I would basically just generate a dry fart noise?
Yeah. Okay. No rule necessary for that. You don't remember how to cast those.
Okay, good. I want to save myself the embarrassment of trying to cast it in an inopportune time.
I turn to Scorpo, and I'm like, hey, can you do the mental bug thing that Helgrammet can do?
I'm not as practiced at it as he is, but I can give it a try.
Tell Lorevith, the eggs were made by the bugs.
This is a very
good chance they're just going to kill them.
Well, I can only talk to Thrykeen. Let me talk to Helgrammet.
He closes his eyes and then he falls to his knees.
Damn
I'm
it.
Going to make a wisdom saving throw here for Scorpo. That is a 2. Scorpo, you see him sort of put his hand to his temple, reaching out to Helgrammet. And then just a moment after that, he collapses on the ground, sort of rigid. Hasty Jane says, should I stop them? Should I?
Yeah.
Okay.
There's no way they were just going to send us back.
Okay.
There's no way.
Yep. Got it. Hasty Jane rushes down the side of the mountain, dashing, at lightning speed and, intercepts you, Lorevith.
Sorry, what?
Hey, real quick, Rictus says don't go in the eggs because they were probably made by the bugs and they'll kill you if you go into them.
So should we just stand here and wait to die?
I don't...
Would you be a dear, run back to Rictus and say, should we just go ahead and die?
I don't really appreciate that tone of voice, actually. Do you want to try that again?
At the moment, I honestly, there's no crisis that...
You heard it, right?
I heard it and I want to get out in front of this thing.
Okay, well, listen, Scorpio.
Craig, your stress does wild things. I'm really, really sorry. I just don't. I feel like. I think emotionally speaking, I think we're gonna die.
Yeah, no, for sure. So I don't know what to do. If we don't go in the eggs, do you want to sort of regroup, maybe, and we can sort of figure out what to do next? Because like half of us are paralyzed now.
I mean,
Hasty Jane delivers this message. As she does so, you hear a rushing wind behind you. You turn to see the entire sort of residential quarter of the island vanish into nothingness, taking with it the ever-burning flame that has gone sort of dormant ever since Helgrammet kind of diverted the flow a bit.
But it's like ticking around, right? Because it started at the Crystallarium, then went to the woods, then went to the arena, then went to the residences.
It does seem to be moving around the island, sort of vanishing the outer ring of it in a counterclockwise fashion,
it
yes.
It seems like the ziggurat's our best chance.
Yeah, I think I figured that out at the same time.
Yeah, I mean, you can see absolutely that, you know, 75% of the island has disappeared at this point.
Okay.
Hasty Jane says, well, so we're not taking any eggs. We stay here?
I think at this point, everyone should do what they think is best.
Duber says, I don't want to go in the eggs.
Oh, don't do, but you weren't allowed to go in the eggs. Sorry, I should have been more clear. Everyone but Duba should do what they think is best. Duba will do what I think is best.
Of course. Of course, he says.
Could I do something with Helgrammet?
You can make a wisdom saving throw for me. You are still in this kind of catatonic state, and if you would like to try to break out of that. Okay.
16.
Yes. Okay, with a 16, you feel your senses return to you, Helgrammet, as this conversation is taking place. As you kind of come to, you gaze around and see that most of the island has disappeared at this point, and you are kind of slumped over Lorvis's shoulder. Duber actually sees you. He's on the other shoulder. He looks over and says, oh, Helgrammet's awake, everybody! Helgrammet's awake!
I have had a vision of a giant eye. A giant white eye. And I have... Is it possible that this whole thing is an illusion? All this destruction, all of this, these things being revealed to us, could this be the illusion test?
Good Lord.
You, Helgrammet, and Lorvith, and Rictus, where you're standing sort of in the mouth of the cave. You had mentioned that you had picked up on the kind of order of the disappearance of this island. Are you heading back down towards the ziggurat?
Yes, I am.
Okay.
Down to the ziggurat.
You reach the center of the island and regroup with the others.
And with Franklin's help, am I able to get like Scorvo and Hippocrates down there?
Yeah, everyone is able to kind of follow along with the plan of regrouping with the only part of the island that doesn't seem to be vanishing into thin air. You all are standing in the shadow of the ziggurat and watching as this kind of just wave of shimmering light vanishes the remainder of the island. The mountain vanishes right behind your sort of final footfalls, stepping into the lawn surrounding the central structure here. And you see Scorpo come to as Helgrammet sort of wakes up as well. And Helgrammet, as you say what you just said, asking if this whole thing is perhaps an illusion. You see the island reappear like a bolt of lightning, as if it had never been affected at all. You see that the grimoire's still attached to everyone's sort of arms, except for Lorvith and Hippocrates. You can still see them plain as day. The echo mites, the insects, sort of clinging onto you, and you all can see the crystallarium, where there are no members of the Octave standing in front. The crystallarium begins to vibrate, not earthquake-like, but like electric toothbrush-like, blurring as it sort of shakes so violently, giving off this high-pitched sort of hum, and the sort of crystalline spires on either side of it begin to emerge upwards from the earth, forming these two great sort of amethyst pyramids. that begin to sort of split and branch outward in fractal patterns, almost like an orchid blooming. The crystallarium grows and begins to part. And as it does so, Rictus, you can now see it as you saw it from within. You can see the grandness of this space that was sort of contained within the crystallarium before. You see rows upon rows of these sort of organic chitinous shelves where the spellstones are stored. You see hundreds of echomites sort of scurrying to and fro, some smaller ones with these light kind of dragonfly wings, arranging the crystals as they go. And now you can see in the sunlight overhead what you couldn't quite make out when you first intruded on the crystallarium. You see a massive composite gemstone made of countless thousands of much smaller sort of spellstones. They have formed together into a sort of spherical shape with jagged edges reaching upward like a fireball sort of frozen in time. Multicolored, multifaceted, and draped over top of it, you all can see what at first appears to be a very, very large bug, similar to the one that is attached to all of your arms. But you recognize pretty quickly that it is not quite like the bug that is on your arm, because it appears to be desiccated. It appears to be long, long, long dead. It is mostly hollowed out, and it is draped over this giant sort of jagged crystal, almost like a crown. You see this crystallarium bloom exposing the heart of this thing at the rear of the island. And as you all sort of stare at it in stunned silence, you see an eye appear, flashing across the facets of this crystal. And everybody give me a history check, please.
13.
16.
Dirty 20.
I think with all those rolls, you all are able to recognize what this is, because it is a vision that you all have seen dozens of times since you've been here on the Isle of the Octave Ziggurat. You see this giant white flaming eye appear all across the faces of this crystal, and you hear the voice of Chris say, "Congratulations. You've passed the Trial of Illusion."
Maximum Fun,
a worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows,
supported
directly
by you.